This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour of this week, at least on this show. It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle with Jake Heaps in for Brock. You guys know Jake. He sounds just like Tom Brady. He does some great stuff, breaking down football games. Star at Skyline High. What's the mascot at Skyline?
The Spartans.
The Spartans. I knew that. The Skyline, a great Skyline Spartan. Went to BYU, went to Kansas, went to UMiami. And then ultimately played a little bit with the Jets and Seahawks and is now in the area working with the Russell Wilson Passing Academy. And also going to be doing a lot more work here in the station, especially on the website, 710sports.com. More details on that to follow. We've been really enjoying having Jake in the last couple of weeks. We'll probably get a lot more of him on some of these days where Brock is traveling for his college football gig. Brock, of course, tomorrow has Wisconsin hosting BYU. And you can watch him tomorrow. Is that ABC or ESPN, Kyle? Do we know? Lydia, you sure? I don't know. I think it's on ABC, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I think ABC.
All right. Open phone lines. That's how we end every week. 206-421-3776. All this hour for the next 45 minutes. We got whatever it is they want to talk about, Jake. Are you prepared for this?
Bring it on.
So this is going to flex your mental muscles as you have to like be quick and ready to adapt to anything that anyone wants to talk about. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, college, pros, last week, this week, local, national, whatever argument you've been trying to make. Make it here. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Mike, who's in Spokane. He'll get us going. Mike, hello.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Hey, my dad was a football coach, and I want to see the offense come out and look like they know what they're doing. You know, get in the huddle, call two plays, say, you're going to block, you're going to block, and you're going to block, and you're going to run the ball, and don't come back unless you get a first, you know, and we're going to run to the line of scrimmage. We're going to go on the first sound out of Russell Wilson's mouth, and we're going to punch him in the nose, you know. And I'm just tired of looking like we don't even know what we're doing up there sometimes.
Well, certainly they've struggled in the first drives of games. There's no doubt. When's the last? Isn't it like 40-something games since they've scored a touchdown on their first drive?
I think September 2016.
How is that even possible when you think about it? Now,
it's
fascinating. Do you think, Jake, that going on first sound, will that be the key?
I don't think so to start off the game, but I think overall I like the attitude. I really do, Mike. I think you come out, you try and make a statement, and trying to show that we're going to dominate this game.
Does it matter that they threw the ball on first and second down on Sunday?
I think it's all situational. I think when you look at it, if you're coming out and doing that drive in and drive out, absolutely. And especially when you've talked all offseason, the storyline has been, how are we going to run the football? All those things.
When you come out, you throw play action on first down.
Right.
You throw it on second down.
Yep.
And then you just sort of run a draw to help yourself out on third and 16.
Yeah.
They essentially opened up the game. And I know you can tell me that it's just one possession. But to me, there's symbolism in it, and it's what you're telling your team. It's what you're telling your offensive linemen. It's the statement you're making about who you want to be, and it's the opposite of everything they said they were going to do this offseason. And so I know I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, but I think that those symbols mean something.
Well, I think I definitely understand where you're coming from, and I think you're going to see more of that line of play. Like I've been saying, is you're going to see more run game. Mm. Now, to their defense, if you watch the tape, that first play – was going to be sweet. It was going to be a awesome 20-yard-plus gain to Doug Baldwin if we were able to hold protection, if we're able to stay assignment sound. And to me, that was the biggest disappointment as I was watching the tape and evaluating it was, man, this was an opportunity to come out. We were talking about the run game, how we're going to do it. We come out, play action. They sell on it. We got Doug Baldwin wide open in the middle of the field, and we just can't protect. And, and I think you help yourself out there by establishing
familiar
the run game.
Story, man. I feel like we've told that story about the Seahawks a lot, and the goal is run the ball a little bit early, and then that play will be there for you later instead of on play one. I mean, eventually this is not a – it's a theme more than it is just a one-time thing.
That's where you see Will Dissly getting open and running wild.
206-421-3776. Anything, whatever's on your mind. Let's grab Mitch, who's in Twin Falls, Idaho. Mitch, what do you want to say today?
Well, I want to talk about some Pac-12 football scheduling and how I don't know if they've been doing the best they can to protect what, at least in the last couple of years, have been their top teams. Now you look in the north, the last couple of years in no specific order. You've got UW, WSU, my school, and Stanford have all had Friday games. USC in the South has had Friday games. I mean, this year I know Washington State was expected to take a drop off, and we've got our two biggest games are on Fridays. It's USC, UW. UW has that Friday away game for the Apple Cup. I just think they've been doing a poor job protecting what's projected to be some of their top teams.
Do you think that's their job? Is it the job of the – just quickly, because I'm not saying I disagree with you, but is it the job of the conference to make sure the best in the conference represent them well at the end of the year, or to make sure that it's fair for everyone in the conference to have a fair shot at winning that conference?
I don't have a problem with the Friday games in themselves, but I think if you're going to have a team have an away Friday game, you should at least have a bye week before it, because you're seeing teams – I mean, USC had a short week at WSU and UW has a short week at Washington State this year. I mean, it doesn't work out the way you think it should.
It's a good point, and Larry Scott's one of the public enemies number one, certainly on this show and around the Pac-12 for all kinds of different reasons. But I am always back and forth on this. Like, what's the job of the conference? Is it to make sure that the best team goes out there and represents in the college football playoff?
Right.
Or is it to make sure that everybody's got a fair shot of winning?
Well, I think it's a fascinating statement. I think in this climate, I think you've looked at these Power Five conferences and who's better, who, you know, this and that, and you're jockeying for position for the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of an element that you would like to see the Pac-12 take care of their better teams.
I think they should. Even if that ends up making it harder for Oregon State to win?
Yeah, and that's where I'm going to contradict myself, because now you're going to show bias, you're going to show clear favoritism and make it difficult. I think that's the tough part in this that you're looking at. And, you know, overall, I don't think you should ultimately make a couple programs suffer and give them a hard road just because you're trying to jockey these, you know, first top five teams in your league.
Well, we'll see. I mean, UW has, what, twice they're playing road games against teams coming off a bye? I mean, that is not easy over the course of a season.
Right.
They're not setting up the Huskies well, certainly, for success to represent the conference. 206-421-3776. Open line, so whatever's on your mind, Scott's in Bellingham. Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Man, I love Bellingham. What a
great
place to be this morning.
Oh, man. I had a couple of things here I wanted to talk about. The first one was, why aren't anybody calling out the refs? I mean, I know teams got to deal with referees, and some have it better than others, but it just seemed like there was no way that they were going to let Denver lose their home opener. I mean, it was hideous.
Really? I mean, I think there's one call that you could maybe take issue with, and other than that, I didn't think that was a badly reffed game, did you?
They were mauling our guys. They weren't getting holding calls for the mauling. Didn't you see all the mauling going on, just dragging our guys down?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, Scott, I think that the one play that stands out is obviously that touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the offensive pass interference on Brandon Marshall, it was an offensive pass interference. He admitted it
Even
after
Marshall
the game.
Said it.
You know, I think that overall, I think it just comes down to that one play. And, you know, hopefully that we're in positions where we don't have to rely on a bad, good or bad call by the referee to win football
games. Yeah, but why don't they do instant replay on the refs? I mean, wouldn't that make it
They
better?
Do. They do. They get graded.
That's
you know,
a good
they,
question.
Those guys get graded. I mean, when you look at the guys
Why don't they start using instant replay in football? I feel like they should. If they just went to instant replay in the NFL, I feel like it would be like a more effective league.
Yeah, I mean.
So the second thing I want to discuss with you is you guys are all about numbers. And I've noticed a trend in the last few years, and it seems like whenever a new player comes into the league, or it could be even an established player, when they start doing endorsements, they get injured. And you guys should look back on that.
Interesting.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
It's a fact.
It's a fact.
It's a fact.
Hey, the Madden curse. You know?
And I don't know if it's that, you know, they get all this money already, and then they're getting greedy. Maybe they get punished for being greedy. I don't know, but
I think it's karma.
It is just, it's unreal how it goes. I mean, even... It's just funny. Look back. You'll see what I'm talking about. I'm sure you guys have been around. You know.
Oh, we know.
What's going on.
Absolutely. But, Scott, I'm so glad you called in this morning. Thank you for the phone call from Bellingham.
Correlation causation, though, right?
Thanks,
like,
Scott.
Football players just get injured. Isn't that just a thing that
Lydia,
happens?
Open phone lines. You don't know what's coming today. That's sort of you got to be ready. Maybe the NFL should institute instant replay and start looking at videos so that the refs can have a little bit of help. And, you know, be careful of those endorsements.
One day, hopefully, they'll figure it out.
Do you ever sign an endorsement deal?
Have I?
Yeah.
No.
Nothing? You didn't even get like one of the little like the Nike deals were for like everyone else, where you like get a few shirts and stuff?
I didn't last long enough.
You didn't get like a shirt or anything?
No, I mean, I've gotten things from time to time. You know, I've gotten some, you know, perks of playing.
Okay,
for sure.
Do you have like a closet full of free clothing, free athletic clothing?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
That's
got a lot of Nike.
No one who played at a high level doesn't have a full closet
for
full
sure.
of sneakers.
I had to, just from my college days alone, I had to throw away a lot of.
Did you play
stuff.
At all Nike
Give it
schools?
Away, I should say.
All three schools Nike?
No. At Kansas, we were Adidas.
Adidas?
Yes.
How was their stuff?
And I hated it.
Really?
They are a lot better now
okay.
than what they were when I was there.
Okay.
But, like, their jerseys, they're okay. They're fine. I've got nothing wrong with that. But their everyday equipment, it wasn't the standard.
The Huskies are becoming an Adidas school, right? Isn't
yes.
that's happening? So you say it's not a problem anymore.
No, they've gotten better. It's still not, in my opinion, still not Nike, but you know, our academy, everything is Nike.
So you would have liked to have, like, you know, signed a deal with Nike.
Yes.
Yeah, you would have signed up.
Absolutely. Not even a question.
206-421.
Give me $10. Give me something.
3776. Tommy is in Puyallup. Tommy, what's on your mind this morning? Open lines, whatever's on your mind.
Hey, what's going on? You know, I'm a big Seahawks fan, but it sounds like we're doing a little bit of whining out there now. Not only the fans, but, you know, we played well. The line was 3 points. We lost by three. Went out there, played close. You're not going to get those calls on the road. Other teams aren't going to get those calls in Seattle. It's
Agreed.
Just the way it is. You go out there. That's why the fans pay $250 to see a good close game and the results. We got to toughen up a little bit, especially on the road. That's just the way it is. And play well, and we'll live with the results. That was a good, strong game, and we'll live with it.
Appreciate the phone call, Tommy. Anytime, man. 206.
I like Tommy's energy.
421-3776. Absolutely. Chuck's in Kennewick. Chuck, what's on your mind today?
Well, I've called a few times, and I kind of blame the Mariners' downfall on my part, because a while back when they were only 4.5 out, I said we're going to win the division. Well, they've kind of taken it in the tank.
Chuck, come on,
Chuck,
man.
I don't think they're going to win the division.
No. So anyways, here's my thought. Just watching the last few days, here's the thought out there. I say we trade Paxton, and even though we signed Segura to a pretty good deal, we trade Paxton and Segura to the Mets for either Syndergaard or his name?
One of the other pitchers, Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, DeGrom.
Yeah.
And just Paxton is showing that he is not durable. He took a line drive off the forearm and came out. We had the guy, I can't remember who we were playing, but he took a shot off the nether regions, and he shut us out. So I just think we need to get rid of Paxton and Segura, because Segura's not playing because his tummy hurts.
Yep.
I mean, come on, guys.
Well, look, Chuck, I don't know if it's a toughness thing. I think it's more that this team's quit, and it's really unfortunate. I appreciate the phone call. I've been sort of holding off, Jake. I really don't want to, like, get into the full review of how this thing has gone
until it's fully over. You're waiting.
I'm angry.
I know, man. I am too. I mean, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to see this. You know, you're a team that looks like they're going to run away with this thing, right? Everything is coming together. You got a great lineup. There's so many exciting things to go about this. And I think the biggest thing for me is just what you talked about. People just quit. They've thrown in the towel. And in my opinion, there were too many little things like that. Paxton coming out. You know, I'm not saying it's not legitimate, but let's have a little toughness. You know, let's have a little
so hard, man,
in this situation.
In baseball. It's funny. I know a lot of people are going to point to the Paxton one. I don't, but I do think that the two paternity leaves from Kyle Seager and then Gene Segura, and I have no issues with anybody taking paternity leave. I do think it created some strife in that clubhouse.
Well, I think exactly. So I'm sitting on the couch with my mother-in-law about this, the same topic. Hey, look, we get that. This is an important moment, but to take off multiple days?
3 days.
Three days when you're in the hunt?
Yeah, I think the two things about this that are, you know, make it – look, in Gene Segura's case, he's lost a kid. His first child had passed away. You know what? I am never going to rip him for it, not for one second. If he wanted 3 days for it, I really don't have a problem with it. But I also am not sure if he takes all three of those days if Kyle Seager hadn't done it earlier. And I also know that Seager's situation was they could choose when they wanted to have the baby induced. And so, like, why has it happened during the Houston series? Why did it go down that way as you're fighting for a playoff series? It's just, there's going to be more on this. I don't want to get fully into it now, but gosh, what a disappointing way this thing ended. 206-421-3776. Grab Andrew, who's in Bellevue, wants to specifically talk to Jake. What's up, Andrew?
Jake, what's up, man?
Andrew, how's it going, man?
going well, buddy. Hey, first things first, just want to say, go ahead and support Eagles. I know you're a long time, grad of Skyline. And dude, I got to ask you. So I went to Issaquah back in the day when you were probably just a little munchkin. And you know, we used to dominate in football, and I just don't get it.
Right.
Like, why is Skyline the powerhouse of the Issaquah area when Issaquah has got, you know, just as many kids, just as many,
right,
you know, in my mind, athletes? I can't figure it out. Like, I mean, you went to Skyline, so did you,
right,
move up there to go to Skyline, or are you from Issaquah?
No, I actually moved in when I was younger. It was offense. I remember me and my dad specifically going and watching Steve Jervis and Skyline, and they were running this sweet spread offense, and my dad looked at me and was like, "Do you want to play in that?" And I was like, "Heck yeah!" You know.
So you moved there. You moved to that area because of it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting, but yeah.
How
old
were you?
I was, let's see, going into my sixth grade year.
Wow. So already, so you're essentially 10 years old at that point.
Right. Yeah.
And you're already making decisions on where your family is going to live based on your football career.
Kind of, yeah.
That's incredible.
It was. I mean, I think at that age, it sounds crazy, but I was a little unique at that age,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way I was throwing the ball and things of that nature. Ended up working out pretty good for us. But, yeah, you know, the Issaquah Eagles have a long drought of beating Skyline. You know, I think the biggest thing for those guys is, you know, it comes down to the program. I think Skyline's been able to build a tremendous program. And before I got to high school, Issaquah had a fantastic program. And,
yeah.
you know, we played each other in the state championship my junior year. So it's kind of baffling to see where they're at, and we'll see how they can get out of it.
I've told Brock this before. When I was a kid, I just remember wondering, like, why is one high school always better than another? It never dawned on me that people would actually go to a location in order to go to school for sports.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't understand that. Where I was growing up in Boston, there's Walpole was really good every single year, public school in Walpole.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I just don't understand why do they have some weird collection of athletes that are all there in Walpole? Why is everybody in Walpole like 6'5", 300 pounds when they're 15? It just never made sense to me. And it wasn't until I was older that I figured out that people do what you did, which is, hey, I want to go live in an area partially or maybe even entirely because of the sports program there. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Mark, who's in Seattle. Mark, what's on your mind today?
I wonder why you guys never talk about Major League Baseball attendance.
All right. What would you like to say about it?
Well, back in 92, I know that might be a little before your time.
1992. All right. This is going back a couple of years.
Do you remember when our team was threatened to lose? This was before the house that Griffey built and all that, but we almost lost our team to Tampa Bay.
Yes, true.
So did the White Sox and the Giants and the A's. We saved our team with Major League Baseball, right?
Yes.
Okay, now do you ever notice the Tampa Bay attendance, how much they draw per game?
It's not good.
Yeah.
No, it's about the worst in the majors. So wouldn't this city really be up in arms if we would have lost our team to that crappy Tampa Bay?
They would have been.
It would have been rough.
Yeah, I'm just getting ready to fly down to Bay Area to visit my sister, and my nephew's cool enough to take me to a Giants-Rockies game.
Nice.
It's awesome,
and
man.
I don't know. I kind of want the Rockies. I know that they've kind of owned us this season.
Mark, I want the Rockies too. By the way, I would like to say thank you for the phone call. Absolutely. You're right. We don't talk enough Major League Baseball.
But
Lydia?
Well, then he said the Bay Area. I thought he was going to the Tampa Bay
I did too,
area,
actually.
But then he
yeah,
a quick
me too.
Transition.
He's going to be hanging out in Ybor City. I wasn't sure how that
St.
was going
to
go. Lydia, brace yourself for something.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I would like to declare myself. I would like an open candidacy in the National League for the rest of the year. I would like to attach myself to a team.
Oh, here we go.
For the rest of this year and maybe going forward as a National League team, I would like to declare myself as my second team behind the Mariners, a Colorado Rockies fan.
All right. Yeah.
Can I jump on the Rockies bandwagon right now today?
Okay.
That team is a blast. I love the players on it. I love how they play ball. Charlie Blackman and DJ LeMahieu.
Freaking Nolan Arenado is
he's
one
unbelievable.
Of my
Can I just declare myself a Rockies fan?
Yeah,
here for
you
the
already
rest
made
the
yourself
year.
A bandwagon jumper last week with the storm thing.
True.
So just keep it
fair
rolling.
Weather.
Does that make me a storm
don't,
jumper?
Don't stop now.
Storm chaser?
I don't know. Yeah, storm
chaser.
Chaser.
There you
which
go.
Which is the name of their fan blog, so it's perfect.
As it should be. What else would you call it? Yeah, I would like
you
to declare
rooting for the Yankees too in the playoffs, maybe.
Ooh.
So you're just jumping on board here?
If people could see the glare right now.
Shut your mouth back there, Kyle Brown. I don't want to hear that out of you. No, I'm going to declare myself a Rockies fan for the rest of the year. And maybe beyond. We'll see. But I go Rockies. Do they have like a thing they say? Beyond Go Rockies?
I don't know. You should know as the fan.
Well, right. I'm not a fan.
Do a little research just, before you get on, man.
Thank you, Jake.
Well, I've been to the park. I was there for the 2007 World Series. That's when they were super into Tulowitzki. He was their star. And they would do the like, dun, 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 too low. It was very exciting.
My Coors Field experience a couple years ago, I was there with my mom, and it was empty.
Oh, really?
And they weren't even that bad. Hmm. And the guys in front of us kept asking me and my mom to take selfies of them while we were trying to watch the game.
Oh, that's
and
tough.
Like, come on, guys.
The worst.
Come on.
206-421-3776, your Coors Field experience.
I'll tell you, the other thing about Coors Field in October is that you can get hot chocolate with a little something thrown in from the bar.
Oh, you got schnapps on that?
You can do schnapps or whiskey, actually. It's pretty good. So while you're out there enjoying a freezing cold night of baseball in October, you can warm yourself up, so to speak. 206-421-3776. All right, we have another Kendall. Kendall in Bothell. What's up, Kendall? What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure, absolutely.
I just wanted to say, I listened to Jerry DePoto's interview on the station yesterday.
Yep.
And I came away less than pleased. I think he did, apologize and said he's embarrassed. But he didn't take nearly as much responsibility as I think a general manager should. And he threw a lot of the team under the bus, saying that half the lineup's not producing. Our guys aren't doing what, I thought they were going to, blah, blah, blah. And, I just don't think he did enough of a job as a GM to actually.
Let's play this. Let's hear exactly what Jerry had to say. Kyle's got the cut back there. Hold on one sec.
And we have had roughly half our lineup just effectively disappear for half a season, and it's really hard to score runs when only half of your lineup is working, and understanding that you can't put three or four hitters in a position to have to churn night after night.
Is he wrong?
No, I don't think he's wrong, but I think he maybe could have done a little bit more to help the guys when they were struggling, or perhaps grab another pitcher because you can't count on like a Marco Gonzalez or a Wade LeBlanc to throw 180 innings or 200 innings in a season.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, Kendall, and you're fitting right into a long-held belief of mine that most people get mad at me about, which is that when things go wrong for a season, it's never the player's fault. There's no such thing. Either the GM didn't acquire the right players or the coach or manager didn't coach them appropriately. There's no such thing as it being the player's fault. Like it's either the coach's fault or it's the GM's fault, and that's the only way of assigning blame when it's all said and done. The thing is, baseball's a little funky because you can acquire a guy, Jake, who's been a great hitter his whole career, and he might not play well. The problem for me, though, is, that's still going to be on the GM. You should have been able to predict that. Like, that's the job.
You're right. I hear you. I mean, a great one that comes to my mind is Adrian Beltre.
Mm-hmm.
He was a monster, right? And he comes to Seattle and is nothing.
Yep.
I mean, I remember being so fired up about that, and it was like one of the biggest disappointments.
Went on to a great career after he left as well.
Right, and that is baffling. That's the story.
Does that come down to culture?
Story of the Mariners.
Does that come down to just culture?
I think so. I think part of it, too, is, why are some guys succeeding in other franchises, but when they come to the Mariners, it just falls apart.
Yeah, and then on the other hand, you look at Nelson Cruz, who's come here and been otherworldly good. He's been better since coming here. We've seen some guys. Marco Gonzalez was better here. We saw Wade LeBlanc has been better here just in the last year. I mean, you can also point to players who've gone the opposite direction. So yeah, we're not done trying to figure that out, I promise.
Yeah.
206-421-3776. We got a few more minutes to take any call on any subject, whatever point it is you want to make. We're ready for you. 206-421-3776. Jake Heaps is here. It's Brock and Saul.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Monday warrior, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Oh, am I supposed to talk?
Just wanted to put a smile on your face on Friday.
Just feels like sacrilege to speak over the greatest song ever made.
Great lead-in.
It's my favorite song ever. You just can't beat it. I don't know how to talk over this, lady. You might have to turn this off. It's too great. 206-421-3776. Jake Heaps is in. Rush fan? Is that what I'm hearing over there?
I'm all in.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
I can't say that I'm like a savant, but okay. I enjoy it.
You're not going deep tracks.
No.
You don't want to sit around with me in Wausau and listen to signals from start to finish?
Hey, I'll do it.
All right. Hey.
Absolutely.
I think we all know what we're doing after the show today.
I'm into good music.
Call Wausau. Tell him to bring out his copy of signals. We're listening from front to back. All right. Jake's in. And open lines, as we always do on Fridays in the 9 o'clock hour. 206-421-3776. These are all sports takes. We'll do answer the question jerk here in 15 minutes. Whatever else is on your mind, we'll be ready for all that. Let's grab Fred, who's in Birch Bay with a deep voice. What's up, Fred?
Hey, good morning. And Jake, welcome to the show again. He's good.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. You got a great voice, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I did use it for a living, so yeah.
Okay, just that makes sense.
Retired. Hey, two things. One, as a retired punter, kicker, and rugby player, I think Michael Dixon's a defensive specialist.
Okay, so you want him up. So when he wins Rookie of the Year, it should be defensive Rookie of the Year.
I actually really like that. Now, you bring up an awesome point because someone else mentioned it earlier. This guy forces opposing offenses to drive the whole field. I mean, think about this. Russell takes a sack. I want to think he gets sacked. I think they're on their own 30-yard line, and he punts it, and it's within the opposing 10.
It's like, amazing.
It's incredible.
He's a freak show.
The ability that he has to flip the field. Now, I want to ask you this, Fred.
Oh, he's gone. Sorry.
Oh, he's gone. Lost, okay. Fred. Well, it's fascinating to me that you mentioned rugby. I just think that you're going to see a huge trend of these guys coming over and dominating.
As you should, but this is what bothers me the most, and this is why I was doing my Southern Hick voice yesterday to talk about NFL GMs and decision makers.
Yeah.
Because Brock's saying that nobody wanted to draft him because they couldn't, what did he say? They'd never seen anyone do it like that
before. Yeah, there's no comp.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I hear you.
That is so ridiculous, and that is why sports teams get themselves into these problems. Well, I've never seen it before, and therefore I don't trust it. I've never seen a guy kick like that. Can't do it. Won't do it on the football fields. Black magic. Don't trust it. Like, I just stop. So what? Who cares how he does it?
Nailed
He's
it.
Pinning guys inside the 5 from his own 30.
Have you ever gotten your hands on what an actual scouting report looks like?
No.
It is amazing.
Why?
Just what they talk about, the language that they use. Oh, this guy, he's got, he's slight of, hamstrings aren't as big and his hands aren't heavy.
Is it all negative?
Oh my gosh, Brock would be such a fan.
Especially
if you're breaking down someone's hamstrings.
Yes. It's incredible, right?
Is it all negative? It's
just, they do their best to try and nitpick at everybody.
Me crazy.
It's
negativity is part of the, and Brock talks about that a lot. It's
can
one
you
of the
play?
Things, the Seahawks have done well is really look for the positives that guys can do.
Right.
Bill Belichick's great at that, too. I was watching. Did you watch any of the Patriots game this past weekend? I forget who was doing the game. Oh, it was Tony Romo. Had some really good points about.
He's a beast in the booth.
He had a great point about the wide receiver kick returner who had been with the Vikings. And then what's the guy's name? I'll think of his name. He's now with the Patriots as a wide receiver. He's really more of a kick returner. I'll come up with it. Give me a sec. In any event, he was basically saying they're not using him to run traditional routes. They're just asking him to get the ball in his hands and be great in space.
Right.
And because of it, he looked really good in the game. If you're asking him to go down the field and cut off your route at exactly 14 yards and break to the outside, he's not going to be all that good at it. What he's good at is doing things in space.
Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yes, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
So find a way to use him for what he's good at. And congratulations to the Seahawks. They're good at that. It's one of the reasons the Patriots have been as good as they are as well. All right, let's grab JerMichael, who's in Federal Way. What's up, JerMichael?
Hey, what's good? Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Sure, man. What's up?
Absolutely.
Man, okay, I'm about to go in. I'm throwing some daggers, man.
Okay.
Russell Wilson, they need to get rid of him. Oh. I'll tell you why. Okay. It's not that he sucks or anything like that. He's a great quarterback.
Okay.
It's just that if we pay him, we're basically going to be the Green Bay Packers, and he's not Aaron Rodgers. There's no way that he can carry a whole team on his back offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, Seattle hasn't – John Snyder sucks. I'm not going to say he sucks as a GM, but he's like an average GM because he cannot draft. He wasn't doing this crap in Green Bay, and when he came to Seattle, it was Pete Carroll's plan he was following.
Yeah, I don't know. Hold on, JerMichael. There's no evidence of that. That's not fair. There's no evidence. Okay. I mean, it was John who identified Russell Wilson. They found Bobby Wagg. I mean, that 2012 draft class, plus Richard Sherman, a lot of those guys, there's no evidence that that was all Pete. But none.
When he was at Green Bay, was not drafting players like
Well, he wasn't the GM in Green Bay.
I understand. Listen, I understand he wasn't a GM. He was learning. he was like a.
Are we going to blame Scott Fitterer for every bad pick here in Seattle? Like, that's just not fair.
Can I make my point, though?
Yes.
Can I make my point, though, man? Okay, so what I'm saying is that from over the years, ever since we got lucky with Sherman, those guys, they cannot show they can draft really good. So if we pay Russell Wilson, they're not going to draft well, and we're going to be a mediocre team.
All right.
So we need to get rid of them.
All right.
And just start over. So
all right. Well, why get rid of them? If you're such a bad GM, you won't even be able to find the next guy.
Well, right. We're going to suck anyway if we keep them.
All right.
We're not paying anybody else.
All right, Jermichael. Appreciate the phone call today.
Now,
hot take.
A very hot take right there. Now, I think he has a point in terms of the last couple draft classes. They haven't hit, and it's kind of hurt the team. Up to this point, and they've had to rebuild. I think this last draft class was pretty solid, and you can build with this group. But to say that you got to get rid of Russell Wilson because you got to pay him, I fully don't agree with that. I think when you look at the cap going into next year, they're going to be really healthy in the cap next year.
Yeah, they have a lot of contracts coming off the books. You finally free up some of the money from Cam, and we'll see what happens with Earl, and some of the other mistakes that they made with those third contracts will start looking a little bit better.
Yeah.
Do you ever get mad? Do you ever lose your temper?
I mean, I've gotten mad, but I know how to keep my cool, you know?
I don't get the sense you get mad.
Not often.
You seem like someone who's pretty even keel all the time.
I've learned to look at things in a positive way.
We might have to get you to unlearn that. It'd be kind of fun to get you to lose your cool. Either that or you and Lydia are going to have to hang out together all the time.
If
and
we get another
together.
Call like that, I might.
All right,
we'll
there
see.
We go. Mike's in Langley. Michael, what's up?
Is Mike, me?
Yeah. Are you Mike in Langley?
I am, yeah.
All right, then it's you.
And I'd like to invite your attention, you know, maybe a little homework this weekend to an article on fieldgoals.com.
Okay.
Seahawks on tape, Russell Wilson's got some bad habits we need to address. It's a two-part article. He's researched it through all 22 film studies.
Okay.
Matty F. Brown has done part. He's really worked hard on this. And it kind of points to a couple things that I tried to talk about earlier this week. And my question, and also, well, and this would be good. I mean, Tom thinks.
What's
the
question, Mike?
And it really appears to me like they're trying to turn Russell Wilson into a pocket passer, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that because scramblers, if we look at Kaepernick, RG3, Luck, scramblers get squashed, and Russell has taken some big hits.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, I think that Russell is going to go through a learning curve. Trying to learn to be more of a pocket passer, and we're going to have to, you know, kind of be patient with him because it's a, you know, he has.
All right, I appreciate the phone call, man. I'm sorry, this is like a Senate hearing where
a
you're trying to filibuster.
To get
I appreciate
question.
That. All right, Jake, let's just do this quickly.
Right?
Are they trying to make Russell more of a pocket passer?
Yeah, they are. I think
is that a good thing?
I think it is a good thing. Now, I think Russ wants to be more of a pocket passer.
Why?
I think. What that means is that you have a healthier offensive line, that he's not running for his life, that there were times last year that you could see that he wasn't as confident in the pocket. And there's nothing wrong with that because of what he dealt with over the last couple years. So I think that overall, it's not saying, look, Russ, don't move out of the pocket. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just think that there's an emphasis in that, and I think that that'll show some growth over time, but you've got to have the guys up front because you saw multiple times in the game there were times where he was pressured where he had guys open and he just couldn't get it to him because he could not step into his
throw. All right, text messages here, 710-710 powered by Coors Light. This is death, Salk. Why are you taking calls? Trade a premier quarterback in their prime? How are people this dumb? When in the history of this league has anyone ever done that? Why would anyone even think that that would work? Quicker hook on the callers, please. All right. Hey, it's open phone lines, man. You got to roll with it. You got to enjoy the good with the bad and the whole deal. Take it all together and you get what you get. Let's answer your questions instead. I promise I'll pick only the best. 710-710 powered by Coors Light. Answer the question, jerk. We can get away from sports for a few minutes and learn more about Jake Heaps and everything else going on in the world. We'll do it next here on Brock and Salk. Oh, like, that's just not fair.
Can I make my point, though?
Yes.
Can I make my point, though, man? Okay.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there.
answer the question, jerk.
All right, that's what we do. We answer questions at the end of every show. We are doing the Friday without the Seahawks playing. Strange little early Monday night game. I don't know how I feel about all that. In any event, Jake Heaps is in for Brock today. Been having a lot of fun chatting with him, talking a lot of football, Huskies, Seahawks, etc. And, yeah, you're going to be hearing and reading and watching a lot more of Jake here in the station at 710sports.com. Details to come, I promise. But we're excited to start a little relationship with Jake. Let's see. Jerks, and especially Jake, because I think we've answered this. How many McDonald's Chicken McNuggets could you eat in one sitting?
Ooh. In my prime?
Right now.
Right now, okay. I'd be fighting to get 20. That would be a struggle.
You'd get 20. You can always eat one more nugget.
I think that's the problem.
Right, but you get to 20.
I can get to 20.
You don't think you get to 40?
It'd be a struggle. I don't want to ever be in that situation.
How about in your prime?
In my prime.
What's the most you've ever eaten in one sitting?
I don't know. I think I could probably, in my prime, probably 30. Just down to 20.
How about in general?
Wanting
like
more?
Just most of anything. Like, can you remember a meal... The most you'd ever eat.
Gosh. Let's see. Round table pizza buffet.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many pieces?
I'll go after that.
You think you had two full pizzas?
Probably.
Respect.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's the most you've eaten in one sitting? Five almonds?
Of anything?
Five almonds. Maybe six.
Three strawberries. No, it was, you witnessed it that time at Mastro's. I starved myself all day.
Yes.
To prepare for eating this steak.
You, Ashley, ate more than you did at the pizza.
Yeah, but how big was the steak?
It was a tomahawk ribeye.
Yeah, it was,
it was a legit steak.
Kyle took it down.
I didn't quite finish the twice baked pancake or baked potato.
That's rich.
When he says he starved himself all day, it's just like what he does normally.
Right. I had a normal day and then a dinner time.
I'm halfway through my yogurt. Here? I've been awake for 5 hours.
Between you and Paisley, it's amazing. Just bothers me. Most question. I've eaten in one sitting, the two biggest meals I've had, I ate 60 chicken wings.
60 chicken wings?
Yeah, I was 18. I ate 60 chicken wings.
Not buffalo wings.
Yeah, well, they were, some were honey, some were buffalo.
Wow.
Buffalo, spicy and spicy
Not that
out.
Spicy.
Did you have the food sweats going on?
It was gross. My buddy ate 100. It was disgusting. Oh. I've never seen anything like it. And then my same friend and I, we had three Big Macs, fries and a Coke.
But also lunch. That time we went to the chicken and waffles.
Oh, that was gross.
You've witnessed all my best performances.
I thought they were going to have to roll me out of Phoenix.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off the Big Macs.
No, that's right. Three Big Macs. My buddy went back for two more for dinner. Jeez. He had five Big Macs that day. It's two for $2, though. Like, you got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
It's a good deal.
Next question.
Speaking of food, Jerks, what's your favorite snack that they give you on an airplane?
Ooh.
Like, that they give you or that you can buy?
Hey.
Yeah.
World's your oyster, Kyle.
Fruit and cheese platter on Alaska Airlines.
Hard to beat.
Fantastic.
100%.
Hard to beat.
I agree with you.
That thing is awesome.
Features cheddar.
Yeah, and then you got to figure out the best way to, like...
To use the cheese and cracker.
Yes, because you only have so much cracker. So some of the cheese is going to have to go with just apple with no cracker. So you've got to really plan that out. It's like a
It is strategic. You can't just go all in on the, you know, it's...
I'll trade with Caitlin my Gouda for her sharp cheddar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can always work
some
out
some bartering happens.
I've worked that out with random people next to me. Hey,
I will say,
I noticed you're done with the Gouda. I don't want this one.
I will say this.
Or whatever it is.
I've been extremely disappointed with the peanuts, you know, as of late. They just not are good anymore. I don't know what's going on.
All over airline travel in general?
Yes. Hmm. What happened?
They've taken them off a lot of flights because of people's nut allergy.
Right.
So they've just taken them away. But then I agree. They've just kind of, now they're like crackers with occasional nuts.
Whoa, you're not crushing that wonderful little biscuit cracker they give you.
The biscotti thing?
That goes like fantastic. Yeah.
Get out of here.
That thing's good.
Oh, it's so
good. Get out of here.
Yeah.
These are the perfect sizes for Kyle, by the way. That's why he's talking about it. Like anything that comes
Kyle goes
snack
and grabs
size.
A bunch of those things and he uses them for lunch for the next week.
Yep.
Three crackers.
Next question.
All right. Jerks. God, they're all food questions. Go figure. How about something else? All right, with the new Predator movie coming out today, if you were to be cast as one of the characters and to be killed off by the Predator, which of the iconic quotes from the original Predator movie would you want to say before you go out with a blaze of glory?
Wow, now you have to... This is a tough question.
Yeah, you got to think of all the...
They wrote that in text message?
Yeah, I mean, the two biggest quotes I can think of, obviously, besides, you know, I'll be back from Predator, are from Jesse the Body saying, I ain't got time to bleed.
Oh.
And Arnold, when he throws the knife at the guy at the beginning and says, stick around. So it'd probably be one of those two. I'll go with stick around. I think it's a good one. Kyle's never seen it, so he's out.
Classic line.
Yeah.
And then he was like, stick around. Wow!
But he says it in Arnold's voice, which is cooler.
It makes it better.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
Dude, it's not me saying it. It's Arnold. I'm not going to embarrass myself by doing a Schwarzenegger impression.
Classic line.
Classic movie. It's the reason they remade it.
Next question.
Jerks, what's a convenience that we take for granted today that no one would have thought was possible 20 years ago?
Ooh.
I got an easy answer, I think, on this one. I was thinking about it just the other day. It's FaceTime.
Yeah.
FaceTime's remarkable. My whole childhood, we all wondered, like, can you imagine one day if we had video phones? And now, not only do we have them, but you can just, like, walk around, be in your car. You can go anywhere talking on a video phone.
It's absolutely GPS. It is the fact that when I was a kid, my mom would use old school maps. And now she's like, what did I do without GPS?
In 1998.
How did I get locations?
Not only that, but I know where I'm going sometimes, and I will put on the GPS just to find out how much traffic there is, right?
Is there a faster route?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's incredible.
In 1998, I went, I was a courier, a car courier around Boston for the summer. And every time I got a package, they'd like buzz me on a little radio. Be like, shh, beep, beep, number four. I'm like, four here. I'm like, hey, number four. Like, yeah, it's four here. Like, four, here's your address. And they give me the address. And then I would have to go to a Thomas Guide, look up the address of the street in the Thomas Guide, and then find a plan a route to that street by using a Thomas Guide to get there.
But, yeah. Jake, you may also not know that this is a very deep thing for Mike and the U.S. highway system.
I love it.
And
yes, I'm into that stuff.
Studying maps is
I really do
passion.
Like a good map. That's where the first time I ever heard somebody refer to it as whacking a right. I'd be like, I'd call back and they'd be
that was the first time or the only time?
Basically, only. Like, hey, what's the best way to get there? Like, here's what you want to do. You want to get on the expressway. When you get to exit 13, you want to whack a right. You go down, bang a U-turn, come back four blocks, and then whack a left. What? Huh?
What?
What'd you say?
Okay.
I just got confused.
Whack a right. Ridiculous. What's the person? The guy who's in charge of... who's the person who tells everyone where to go? Who's on the microphone back at the office?
Dispatcher?
The dispatcher. Thank you. The dispatch room where this courier place was located was in the grossest place I've ever been.
I can only imagine.
In this dank smelling one room teeny basement where three people worked in there and smoked cigarettes all day. Just dank. Coffee, cigarettes, gross. Are we getting out of here? Jake, thank you. Huskies going to win tomorrow?
I think they will. I think this is going to be a signature win for the Huskies.
Does Jake play well?
Yeah, I think he answers the call.
Jake Haner, going to play great. I'm just kidding. We'll catch you guys Monday morning. Brock will be back. Thanks to Jake for coming in. You can follow him at jheaps9 on Twitter. Catch you guys Monday morning. Till then, the hay is in the barn. See everybody. That's just not fair.
Can I make my point, though?
Yes.
Can I make my point, though, man? Okay.
Yes, yes, and yes, and yes. All of that.
Get to the chopper!